How'd you get started with the cause for justice for Palestinians? That's what it's about, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's about justice for Palestinians. And really, it's about justice and equal rights for everyone. So I got involved with Code Pink Women for Peace when in the Bush era, that just tipped me over the edge. And they organized a delegation to go to Gaza in 2009 after Operation Cast Lead. So that Operation Cast Lead was December 08 to 09 in January. And it horrified me so much. We went in March. They organized it for March 2009. And going there changed my life. We spent a week there directly following the incredible massacres and demolition and devastation to sewage treatment plants, water supplies. Hospitals were bombed. We went to the UN school that was bombed. Many, many thousand, I think it was 1,500 people massacred. Children, women, their port was destroyed against international law. And I had never witnessed that. You can read about it as much as you want, but when you witness it, there's this visceral, for me, a very visceral response. And that's what changed my world around Palestine. And to tip the scales even further, to understand that the U.S. was so complicit and supportive of this incredibly Zionistic Israeli regime that was responsible for it. And we give them millions and billions of dollars. And children were showing us these shells that had Made in USA. I mean, everyone there is very educated about who's funding it, and they don't really know why, but of course, they know that they are at the receiving end of this horrific violence. And when I came back, my kids said, "Mom, you've never been the same since you came back from that trip." And my kids are in their 30s, so it wasn't, they were old enough to know as well. So that's basically how I became involved, and on all different levels then, coming back and trying to do local work and support the boycott, divestment, sanction efforts, writing to my representatives, going to rallies, organizing events to help educate, going to schools and talking and giving PowerPoints and helping, because I didn't know. I had no idea, and I still believe most Americans don't. Fully comprehend, like many places in the world. But this was the one place that I'd gone to that shifted.
Your story is similar to Alison Ware's,
who, if Americans knew, yes,
that's right.
I really appreciate her sight, her efforts, and I always have a stack of her wonderful postcards that I buy by the hundreds, and I take them around when I travel, and they are on all of my tables and presentations, and I put them throughout the airport. I put them in the bathrooms. I put them on the computer tables at the airport. Because her picture of the disappearing Palestine speaks volumes. And if you don't know, you don't know. And we don't teach accurate history in our culture here.
How did you get hooked up with the Freedom Flotilla?
Well, I've always continued to work with Code Pink, and basically, there was a group of U.S. folks, U.S. boats to Gaza that wanted to be a part of the flotilla, which has been going on since 2008. The Freedom Flotilla Coalition started a couple years after that, but there were four or five boats that went in earlier in 08, and we followed in their courageous, monumental footsteps. Those were the only boats that did get into Gaza, and we since thought, okay, we're going to carry on this tradition, because the fishing, the maritime culture there is huge. It's a big part of their culture. They have 25 miles of waterfront there, and fishing is a big part of their food. And now they are not able to actually have that sustainability because the Israelis confiscate their boats, destroy them. It's polluted, etc.
Not infrequently shoot.
And shoot.
In the boats.
I have been out in those fishing boats and been shot at, where the boat has been shot at. It's just a daily occurrence. That is what happens. And they're sabotaged, totally destroyed, and they basically can't do that part of their culture and sustain themselves with the fish that, like they need to. So The Freedom Flotilla, that's our approach, is we sail from Europe down to Gaza. And our intent is to end the Israeli naval blockade of Gaza. And so we have not been successful in the sense of reaching the shores since, but we have been successful in raising awareness. The Palestinians feel like they are not forgotten, which is a very huge message that we have received from them. Many groups that we work with, We Are Not Numbers is a wonderful group that is working within Gaza, getting the voices out, particularly of youth and children. And that is our next mission, which is May 2020, called For the Children of Gaza. Because they have over 60% of their population is made up of children. And they suffer the most, as we know, in any devastated area, that they, without food, water, shelter, medical care, they suffer the most. They are the most vulnerable. And so we're sailing for the children of Gaza to end the Israeli blockade.
Did you sail all the way to Gaza?
I did do that on one occasion. So I'll step back just a little bit. The very first boat I was going to talk about was the U.S. boat called the Audacity of Hope.
Yeah.
Yes, the Audacity of Hope, gosh. And so there were over 50 Americans on the boat going, and we were leaving from Greece. Basically, we were stopped. That was right during the whole, when Greece was collapsing from its horrible demise financially and interior pressure. And Israel had a lot of pressure then on the Greek government. So they said, we'll bail you up. So they were also able to say, don't let any of these boats leave. There were many boats leaving from Greece that year.
So Israel used financial pressure on the Greek government to get them to block your ability to sail internationally.
Yes. That's our understanding. That's our belief. It is not an uncommon practice with many of these regimes around the world right now doing the exact same thing. And sanctions too, I'm sure. I don't know the specifics. But anyway, our boat did not leave. We left Greece. We only got about 6 miles out, and we were approached by the Greek Maritime Coast Guard saying, no, there's no way you're going anywhere. And we held them off for a few hours, and then we were taken into port, and that was the end of it. No, they did not threaten to sink us, but they were all totally, you know, in their goon camo gear and pointing guns and, you know, circling us, and we saying and trying to intimidate, and basically we weren't going to go beyond them because they probably would have just stopped us, basically. I don't think, who knows what they were going to do, but they were not going to let us go. And our captain chose also to just stop and go back. So that was the first one. And then there's the Canadian boat, the Tahrir, that we also wanted to take. There were 25 or 28 people, I believe, who had signed up to go on that one. And that one was leaving from Turkey. It was one of the boats that had been held back prior. They moved it over to Turkey. We got there, and the Turkish government, again, was influenced by who knows what powers. We can only imagine, U.S., Israel. And so only 12 of us were allowed to go. So we had to pare down the crew. And so we left. And that one, we did make it all the way. I believe we were at 42 miles off the coast of Gaza. And when your communications get cut is when you know that they are coming soon. So basically we were surrounded by 17 Israeli naval craft. That what they do oftentimes is they practice some of their newest tactics when they're doing these exercises with capturing our flotilla boats. And they did an interesting one where they zipped around. We were in a collaboration with the Canadian boat, the Searcy. And they went around and around the Searcy and made it pull into our boat. Just by going round and round, it suctioned it into our boat and crashed. Luckily, nobody was hurt and the boats didn't sink. But basically, they were doing some different tactics. We'd lined the sides of the boat so that they couldn't climb in so easily. Well, they had also these extensions on their boat where they could climb way up and over. But as we know, as the Mavi Marmara, they have endless U.S.-supported tactics and intelligence, as well as armaments that they use against these boats and everywhere around the world. And that's what they practice on all of our flotillas, really. So we were stopped, and we were, some people were injured, they were tasered. And we're a nonviolent group. Freedom Flotilla is nonviolent, committed to nonviolent action, and taken into Ashdod and processed. And then, so we were in prison, some of us 2 days, some of us three, some four and five.
I assume they confiscated your cameras, your telephones.
Unfortunately, being an environmentalist, we did throw some of our stuff overboard because we didn't want them to have access to that information. But and we were minimalists, though. We didn't take a lot of stuff on the boat that was, you know, too exposing of things we did not want them to know. But yeah, they did. They confiscated. They returned some things, but not all things.
You mentioned
Mavi Marmara.
There was an American citizen who was murdered along with others.
Yes, there was. The Mavi Marmara was one of the most tragic and horrific attacks that Israel has done on our Freedom Flotillas. It was a Turkish boat, and there were, I believe, I'm not quite positive on my numbers, but I think that there were over 200 people on the boat. 10 were murdered, and one American citizen. And we've taken that to the ICC. That's been, you know, it's one of the issues that this is International Criminal Court. And there's an ongoing case going now with just the basically the violations of international law.
The judge from the ICC, a woman,
yes,
brave in the stance of pursuing justice that she's taken, is currently in the process of opening and proceeding with an investigation, crimes against humanity that the Israelis have committed.
Yes, and hopefully that will have enough backing and support and pressure to really follow through and dig deep into the many, many years, decades really, since 47 of international human rights violations mm-hmm. against Palestinians. And it's really incredible that the pressure is increasing throughout the world as people are becoming more educated. So we're very supportive of that effort.
And do you see the campaign that you're involved in, its role in increasing the courage to move towards justice, as in the past with South Africa, with Myanmar?
Yes, I do. I mean, I feel so heartened by all of those efforts around the world where ordinary citizens are becoming aware and step up and say, not in my name, no more, and really pushing the powers that be to tend to these total injustices and outrageous, incredible, horrific violations of human rights that are happening across the globe. And the Freedom Flotilla Coalition, being a coalition of 12 countries, it represents so many different parts of the world. You know, we have New Zealand and South Africa and Australia and Malaysia and Norway, Sweden, Italy, Spain, U.S., Canada. And we are very committed to keeping this pressure on our governments, basically, and supporting all of the other efforts, too, that are working toward Palestinian rights.
I read just recently that a lawmaker from Finland was arrested at the Gaza border for trying to cut through the fence.
Wonderful. I did not hear that one. So that's it's great. People are very much
showing great courage because the Israelis murder women and children for a lot less.
Yes, and with this great March of Return, I don't know if you've heard of that, but many people around the world are probably not aware of it, but it happens every Friday. They took a 3-week break, but there have been thousands. I believe right now there are at least 10,000 who have been injured. There are thousands who have their eyes shot out, and there are I believe there are over 5,000 amputees. And that's a very deliberate, it's the Israeli military practicing their tactics. And it's very interesting to see that those are some of the tactics being used at some of the other borders around the world, often U.S.-backed as well. And so Israeli trained, yes. And once again, it's the children who are suffering the most, because at these borders, as we know, Mexico, Canada, Israel, and Gaza right there, many, many children have been shot. Many have been killed, many women. Many youth are particularly targeted for the amputation, so they shoot off their legs. And of course, they can't get medical treatment in Gaza all the time, and they are not able to leave. So it's this incredible, just this barbaric conundrum that continues every Friday, actually. So the Great Return March is something that we totally support, and we are not numbers as a part of reporting it.
Being the Freedom Flotilla.
We being the Freedom Flotilla and the U.S. Boat to Gaza. So that is the name of the U.S. Okay. organization, U.S. Boat to Gaza. And right now, as I said, we're preparing and fundraising for this very soon upcoming boat. We are in the process of looking for a boat, purchasing a boat, finding participants. We like to have high-profile participants because then we get better coverage.
And right, Medea Benjamin.
Yes. We've had that, and Joe Meters, who is on the USS Liberty that was attacked by Israel.
That was a naval intelligence ship that the 67 war was attacked by the Israeli military flying unmarked aircraft, bombed, napalmed, strafed, its communications signals blocked by an attacking force that knew the frequencies. Every attempt was made to sink it. The life rafts were machine gunned when they were put over the side. 40 sailors killed, more than 150 injured.
How many Americans know that story? So that, again, it's really important for us who do know to share that information. So anybody who wants to go to the U.S. Boats to Gaza site, there it is. It's usboatstogaza.org and Freedom Flotilla Coalition as well with Facebook. So those are very available.
Is there a Twitter site?
Yep, Freedom Flotilla. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, we are doing our fundraising now, and hopefully we'll meet our goal. The U.S. has committed to $40,000, U.S. dollars. And we're making our way there, but we have a little ways yet to go. So if anybody wants to donate, that's great. But also just sharing the information is really important. I wanted to come back to the boats because we had a wonderful U.S. women's boat. Not U.S., but there was a women's boat
to Gaza.
Yes, and so we had two.
2016?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, and so that was women captain, women crew, and international women participants. So that was very successful on many levels. One boat wasn't able to go, but they did also get right off the coast of Gaza, and again were imprisoned. Our last boat that was in 2018, the Alauda, and then the Freedom from Sweden. The Alauda was our Norwegian boat, and again we have an international crew from all the different countries who are participating, and the Israeli military were much more aggressive with the men who were on this boat and were quite brutal. And we had Dr. Sui from Malaysia. She was injured as well. So they are tending to be a bit more vicious when they intercept our boats.
They have no legitimate response to the challenge of the policies that are being contested except more violence.
Yeah, and that is what the Palestinians are experiencing at an unprecedented level right now, where homes are being demolished more than they have been ever. There are more every week.
Palestine in general and the occupied territories?
Yes.
Or Gaza?
Well, in Gaza, because there are the missiles that go back and forth periodically, but in the West Bank, particularly their occupied West Bank, they are continuing to take over and have Jewish-only settlements that they are creating. So that's a daily occurrence, and many, many people are being imprisoned daily.
Many children
are being imprisoned, yes, and separated from their parents. Mm-hmm. So that's another incredibly inhumane, and it's a violation of international law, and people need to know and step up and talk to their representatives and say, no more, not in my name.
So many people feel it's a waste of time to talk to your representative. Can you respond to that?
Well, I have to agree with that sometimes. I happen to have a representative who on this particular issue is not going to budge, and he said that, and we have many, many people who talk to him. So then you just go to where you can go, and you get in your own community, you can go to your co-ops and set up boycott policies, or you set up in your community governments, you can set up we are an apartheid-free city. And New Orleans just recently said, I realized just a couple days ago, I'm not sure how they did it, but they have set up a very pro-Palestinian policy in support of Palestine. So it's not an anti-Israeli approach. It is opposed to the Zionist Israeli government that is violating human rights. So it's basically saying we are for peace and justice. It's really more of a for that. And also, I am opposed, and most of us who are for Palestinian rights are opposed to our U.S. involvement, engagement, insistence on pushing that Zionist regime to do its dirty work.
What's your understanding of the difference between Zionism and Judaism? Israel claims to represent the interests of all the Jews of the world. The Zionists commingle the concept of Judaism and itself. Can you speak to that?
Well, I guess I would say, I mean, I'm an associate member of Jewish Voices for Peace, and oftentimes we work, in solidarity with different projects. And I would equate Zionism to fascism and Nazism. It's basically, we are superior. And I don't believe that that is the tenet of the Jewish faith. That's not my understanding, and I think it's an aberration of what that religion believes.
Before the founding of the State of Israel, as settlement was underway, a number of Jews from Europe who came to visit or settlers wrote letters saying the same thing, that they were opposed to what was being instituted, that they had left that in Germany as it was being run over by fascist ideology.
Yeah.
And yet here it was in the new land. Because first it went after Jews who spoke out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it went after the British who had the mandate and they had the military. And then it went after the Palestinians.
Well, it just goes to show that we have a lot of work to do and that we really can't sit back on our haunches and think everything is okay, even after times after World War II and we thought, oh, things are okay now. But we have to be ever diligent and we have to be aware and supportive and open-hearted and minded to what is going on in our own communities. And one doesn't need to go far to really see the injustices that happen, whether it's against children or homeless folks or migrants or people of color and faith. And it's really important for us all to engage. We can't have our head in the sand and think that things are just always going to be okay after any given event. We have to just all engage, whatever level we can, too. I mean, people have different ways of, not everybody has to go to Gaza or go on these flotillas, but I think talking about it is number one, and being open to the discussions. And I think helping our schools have good educational systems, because I think those are being hit very hard right now. Funding is being cut drastically on all levels. And I think that special interest groups have infiltrated it in different ways, whether it's with what health practices are allowed or food, the whole food industry in the schools. I think it goes on and on.
History of Palestine.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh yeah, the history. I mean, so what I have done actually is I took Howard Zinn's book to my two history teachers here, and they were interested
in
the public school, and they ordered it, and so I'm helping our school kind of get a little more aware as much as I can, as I said, with the presentations and handouts and So it can happen on all different levels.
Did you learn to be an interesting public speaker, or have you always been able to be outspoken?
Well, I don't know if I'm an interesting public speaker, but I have pretty much been able to be outspoken. I'm constantly trying to improve my speaking skills, but it's not hard for me to be outspoken. I'm not too shy.
You won't be quiet about injustice.
No, I have a hard time with that. Yeah. And I like to do it in an effective manner, though, so.
And what are some of the tips that you could share about what makes it effective?
I think mostly relating on that personal level, finding out what people are usually fearful of, what their misunderstanding is about, what their needs are, and why they feel threatened or uncomfortable. And I've had some good results with reaching out to folks, and I've had some where it's not worked at all, where they were very entrenched, particularly with evangelical Christians, actually. And that's been a dead end, and that is what it is. And I'd rather be in more fruitful, you know, ground than pursue that. You know, I'd rather have a few more successes than try to push that elephant up the hill. So I think I can get pretty rabid and pretty excited, and that can be a turnoff. So I'm really working at just being calm and really feeling out where they are at so that you can reach that level of misunderstanding and fear and help there be an understanding of, you know, so I can share my information and they can share theirs without feeling that I'm judging it either, that there can be, because I felt very, I was not told the truth. And that I get angry about that our education system did not reveal the truth about this particular situation with Palestine. And we have to fix that. And we can fix it. We have the means. It's not rocket science, but we have to have the will. And so that's part of what Freedom Flotilla Coalition and U.S. Boat to Gaza is. We have the will, we have the passion, and we have the vision to reach out and include people and try to help educate. Right now, our past captain from the 2018 is in the United States, Captain Herman Rexton, and he is going across the South. He just gave a talk in Florida, and we're hoping to get some in New Orleans and Texas, perhaps New Mexico and California. But he's on R&R because he actually is a captain of a migrant ship. That's what he's been doing since he got off the Freedom Flotilla. He's been captaining a ship in the Mediterranean. And he's a young, incredibly passionate man. He's 30. I believe he's 30. And he's out there saving migrants in the Mediterranean. So it's once you know, you can't know. And he's a very good example.
Right.
This younger generation that I'm so inspired by, too. I love cross-generational efforts. And I think that's another thing we need to do is, you know, everybody can be an activist in their own right, whether they sit at home and write letters or make phone calls or bumper sticker their car or stand on the corner or talk to their neighbors or, you know, go on flotillas or there's a million ways.
Do you find women more receptive to your views with their, of what you know as it affects them to hear your experience?
Yes, I would say women are more receptive to hearing the information and sharing my experiences and their experiences and there being an exchange. I feel men are not shy about sharing their opinion and being very stubborn about it and not having the exchange. But I think that's changing as well. I think there are more men that realize that that doesn't really serve humanity. And so that's very encouraging. But women definitely are much easier to have that engagement.
When women lead, the men will follow.
When women lead, the men will follow. Code Pink, Women for Peace.
So often it's women who are exhibiting the courage and the moral character that men have been either intimidated into suppressing or misinformed.
Yeah. And I think a good example of that is Kathy Kelly, who's, of course, from your neck of the woods, who continues to lead with an incredible example on all different levels for peace and justice issues. So I'm inspired by Anne Wright and Medea Benjamin and Kathy Kelly and numerous others who just I feel very honored to know, and I follow their lead many, many times.
Give the contact information for the U.S. Boat to Gaza.
Yeah, so U.S. Boats to Gaza, with the S at the end of boats. But if you go to U.S. Boat to Gaza, you'll find it as well, usboatstogaza.org. And the Freedom Flotilla Coalition. .org, freedomflotilla.org. Either way, it'll come up. We have Facebook and websites. And really, we're looking for donations for the U.S. boats so that we can carry on with this
mission. How far from
mission.
Your $40,000?
I think we're over halfway. Yeah. So we're, yeah. And we also have T-shirts to sell. They're beautiful T-shirts. And I'm actually the contact for that. But if you go to the site, you will find my email. And I have lots of wonderful T-shirts that says, "For the children of Gaza, we sail to break the Israeli blockade." They're very reasonable, and I would love to sell them to you. But see, other sites, we are not numbers. As I mentioned before, it's a wonderful organization in Palestine, and one of the coordinators was from the U.S., and that's young people who are doing videos and writing poetry. Oh my goodness.
Gaza Speaks is a book, a recent book.
Gaza Speaks, Abby Martin's movie. A lot of the if you go into Palestine movies, there's some incredible ones. Once you punch in.
Can people contact you directly?
Absolutely, yeah. They can contact me directly. It's marniekit@gmail. marniekit@gmail. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.